Lord, the book of John, chapter 10. Brother Silvestre, it's great to have some of your family here. I mean, all the ones that are here. I'm not just saying some of them that are here, but we're thrilled for them being here. And you look good for someone that gave away your daughter. And we're thrilled and praying for Tiana and Charlie, believing God for great things. And certainly are thankful for your family. John 10, picking up at verse number 10. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. The next verse makes it obvious who's speaking here. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Praise God. I'd like to just speak for a little bit on this thought. We honor first responders. We honor first responders. Now, I want to say, you know, we have plans here in a little bit, but we have time for anybody that wants to repent of their sins today. Anybody that wants to be baptized by immersion in Jesus' name, the water's ready, the robes are ready. You don't have to be a member of this church. Just put your faith in Jesus Christ. We have time for anybody that would seek to be filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues, just like in the Bible. Amen. Let's ask the Lord to just have his way in this last little bit of time we have together. God, you know, in just a little bit, we're going to pray, and we want you to pour out your spirit. We want you to meet needs. And right now, as we look to your word, we want you to speak to each of us. Can you lift your voice and say, Jesus, anoint that I might hear from you?
In the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah.
Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Can you say in Jesus' name? God bless you. You may be seated. Of course, so many people in North America, particularly in the United States today, are focused on the anniversary of 9/11. One more year, I believe 15 years that have passed. My brother is preaching today, and he pastors in Reynoldsburg, Ohio, outside of Columbus, and he is preaching, I believe, a message we will never forget. A little bit closer to home for him because he actually was working in the towers. He was not scheduled to work that day, was scheduled later on in the afternoon, but many of his friends were lost. And so we've talked even this morning about how this day impacts him, but truthfully, it impacts all of us. And without sounding just like an old-fashioned preacher, I think when we read the words of Jesus, that the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. If anybody celebrates 9/11 for the destruction, it would be the devil. That has an agenda to destroy humanity, and he will use anything and perhaps even anyone so that he can cause pain and heartache. He can cause destruction and even death. Thank God we serve a Savior whose name is Jesus Christ. And he has promised us in the face of all the darkness and in the face of all the death, he said, I am come that you might have life. And that you might have it more abundantly. There may be a lot to be afraid of in these last days, but there's a whole lot to be thankful for. And that is, as long as Jesus Christ is large and in charge, he is ordering our steps. And he is making a way for us even through the heartbreak and heartaches of life. But I do want to make this point, and it may sound a little bit cautionary because I don't want to downplay the heartache, the heartbreak, the tragedy, the lives lost. But one positive result of 9/11, and perhaps there are some that can find a positive or silver lining, I would say is that it caused us as a people to have a fresh respect and a fresh appreciation for first responders. To recognize that there are people that put on the uniform every day. There are people whose very job it is to run towards the problem, to embrace the tragedy and try to rescue lives. I know even now in the political culture and climate we are a part of, what I've just said might even be considered controversial because some people look at anybody in a uniform or anybody in a position of authority as though they are the problem. I'm not comfortable with that. And I mean no disrespect to my own father. My own father left our family when I was 7, but that doesn't make every father a bad father. There are ministers that fail, but not every minister is a failure. There are even politicians that lie, but not every politician is possibly a liar. And so not anybody that wears a uniform necessarily should be looked at with disrespect and disdain. Hey, it's pretty good that we still honor first responders. I'm okay with that. I'm comfortable with that. I was talking with one of the people that works in the fire department in this very city recently, and he was dressed very casual for someone in his office. He said, actually, nowadays there are times that we do not wear the uniform. Because we're considered a target just because we're wearing a uniform. We need to honor first responders. And we need to be careful not to let the spirit of this world that wants to destroy anybody and anyone that has any authority. I know there is injustice, and I don't want to get off on that today, but I do want to say we honor first responders. It's awesome to know that there are people that can step into the line of fire, if you will, and rescue those that are in harm's way. Now, I want to say in regards to honoring first responders that at times in my life, I have had an opportunity to be a first responder. And perhaps my own appreciation and celebration of first responders is they're the real deal. Sometimes I have performed less than adequate in the face of danger. And I don't want to tell too much on myself today, but there is an aspect of my personality where when something happens, I'm like, well, maybe quietly I could just slip out of here right now. If you're like that, you repent along with me. Even as I was meditating and preparing for this message, I was in a situation this weekend where someone needed a first responder. In fact, they called the ambulances, and I recalled how I responded, and I thought, man, you are a loser. You should have put on the Superman cape, and you should have stepped into that situation, but I did not. I kind of stepped back a little bit. Well, we'll let those professionals take care of it. I remember one time, and I'm ashamed of this. I was just about to enter an escalator. And as I was entering the escalator, there was a looked like a single mom with her young child in front of me. And as we're about to get on the escalator, there's a man that falls backwards on his luggage. And he didn't bust his head open. He just kind of landed on his luggage, but he's literally hanging down as the escalator's taking him up. And his wife is screaming. She's calling out on the Lord like anything that you've ever seen. And my first reaction, I promise I'm not making this up, I thought, man, maybe there's another escalator I could take. That's why I honor first responders. Because sometimes I have failed miserably. In fact, that single mom, she told her little boy, I'm watching all this stuff. She said, you stay right here. She leaped into that escalator. She got a hold of that man. I mean, he was twice her size, and she brought him to safety. And that mom or that wife was like, oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much. All this was unfolding. She looked back at that little boy and me and said, you stay right there. I said, yes, ma'am. That's why I honor first responders. It's a true story. You can't make this stuff up. But my point is this, not only should we honor first responders, but we need first responders. That's really what I want us to get a hold of. It's beautiful and it's noble that we should honor those that are first responders, but we should also accept the call. Maybe accept the opportunity. We've been talking about open doors, and we should somehow get a hold of the reality that sometimes God wants us to be the first responder. The famous account in the Bible, you know it very well. I'll just reference it. It's in Luke chapter 10. There is a certain lawyer that stood up and he's talking to Jesus in verse 25. He said, "Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And the Lord said, "Well, what's written in the law?" And he said, "Well, you need to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind and thy neighbor as thyself." And he said unto him, this is Jesus talking, "You've done right. You've answered right. If you will do this, you're going to live. You're going to be saved. You need to be a first responder, if you will." And so how many of you know the famous story of the Good Samaritan? You know, it's the preacher that looks bad in that story. Sure. Look at it. Again, it says, there was a man, Jesus answered a certain man. This is verse 30 now. He went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, his clothes, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. He looked for another escalator. Jesus is telling this story, and he's saying, right now we need a responder. But the preacher kind of shied back. There have been times when I have been passing by at lightning speed, not breaking the speed limit necessarily, but and see somebody on the side of the road, and there have been many times more that I kept on going than I stopped. There are times I have stopped to help people, and times that I've talked to people that you would consider homeless people, try to give them money, help them, but there have been many times that I thought, I'm just too busy right now. I might be the only one, but I'll tell you, many times immediately it comes to my mind the story of the Good Samaritan. That's why we honor first responders. That's why we need first responders. A priest comes by, a Levite comes by. But now look at verse 33. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him. He bound up his wounds. He poured in the oil and the wine. He put him on his own beast and got him to a place of safety, to an inn where they could take care of. He made provisions to pay for whatever expenses were involved in regarding the wealth of this man. And then in verse 36, Jesus says, "Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves?" And he said, "He that showeth mercy on him." Then said Jesus unto him, "Go and do thou likewise." My point is this today, we celebrate and we shout and we rejoice that the scripture says, oh yeah, the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and destroy, but thank God Jesus has come to give us life and that more abundantly. But the reality is, this story reveals sometimes he wants to use us to bring that life to somebody. Sometimes he wants to use us to bring that hope to somebody. Sometimes he wants to bring us or use us to bring that help to somebody. And in this story, the Good Samaritan could be described as an outstanding first responder. And something about that on this day says, let us honor the first responders, but let us open our hearts and recognize we need first responders. And dare I say, we need to be first responders so that Jesus can get his life and his peace and his joy into the hearts of people. You think of 9/11 and you are reminded that this is a horribly dangerous world. We cannot stick our head into the sand and pretend that there is not a thief, that there are not forces at work to kill and to steal and destroy. It does us no good to gripe about it or complain about it. It does us no good just to argue and debate about it. We cannot pretend that there's not a need. So what we need to do is to act as though we will do whatever we can to help somebody. We can't even act like we cannot help. At the very least, we must respond. And here's what I want you to consider is that first responders have needs too. Sure they do. When they put on the uniform, they can't let their personal problems keep them from the right response. When they clock in, they get in their cruiser. They head down the road. That fire truck, all the noise and all the bells and the whistles and the lights. They can't be focused on the bills they have to pay. They can't be focused on the trouble in the family. They have to be focused on being a first responder. I honor that today. Because there's something about that that speaks to our Christian walk. We all have needs and we all have struggles and we all have problems. But can we not agree that there are times when we cannot focus on our own needs? We must focus on the needs of others. We cannot focus on our own problems. We must focus on the problems of others. So we honor our first responders, but we need more first responders that will acknowledge, yes, I've got trouble and yes, I've got pain and yes, I've got heartache, but I'll pray for you. I'll listen to you. I'll help you. I'll care for you. I'll respond to you. Because we just need some more first responders. We honor them, but we know that we need a whole lot more of them. And as Christians, we sense the call that we should link up with them. Amen. One chaplain, he wrote this prayer. He calls it the first responder's prayer. He said, Father in heaven, please make me strong when others are weak. Please make me brave when others are afraid. And please make me vigilant when others are distracted by the chaos. That would be a great prayer for us to pray today. Please, Jesus, let me be a first responder. Not trapped by my own weaknesses, not trapped by my own insecurities, not trapped by everything that seems to entrap everybody else. Help me to respond. In his prayer, he goes on to say, and I think this is so important, provide comfort and companionship to my family when I must be away. Serve beside me and protect me as I seek to protect others. Amen. Isn't that really the call of the Christian faith? Lord Jesus, I will give myself to what matters to you, but I am trusting you with what matters to me. I will take up the cross and follow you, and I will respond to the needs of those around me, even though it seems like my own needs may go unmet. And even though I may feel a certain amount of fear because my family could even be in harm's way while I'm out there trying to rescue someone else. Oh, what a way to pray. We honor first responders. But we know we need first responders that will say, God, I got trouble, but I still got time to help somebody else in trouble. God, I've got needs, but I've still got the resources to help somebody else with needs. Is there anybody that would raise their hands as if to say, I am willing to be a first responder? Maybe you're not wearing a uniform today, but you know, as a child of God, you have tried to be sensitive. And in this simple message, you could say, Jesus, Make me more sensitive. Make me more courageous. Make me more aware of your voice speaking through me. Because besides providing physical assistance and material help, I know that your power works inside of my life. And let the Holy Ghost operate through me as I respond to the people around me. Can you say amen? In the Old Testament, you'll read of this little girl. We don't even know her name. She's just called a little maid. She's serving Naaman's wife. Naaman was the captain of the host of the army that had run into her community and ripped her away from her own parents. No doubt many had died. So much of the spoil of those lands were taken away. She was thrust into the home of the very man responsible for all of her troubles. And now she's a slave to his family. And he has leprosy. And you know, she could have said, well, good for him. He got what he deserved. But instead, her first response was, I wish he knew about my God. What do you mean, your God? You were ripped away from your home and ripped away from your family, and now you're a slave, and you're still talking about your God? Oh, yes. There's no God like my God. And there may be trouble in my life, but I can still be a first responder. There's no God in my like my God. And there may be pain in my heart, but I can still be a first responder. Now, this is not going to happen in a couple hours, I think. But in the New Testament, we read about a whole bunch of people that were hungry. And there was a little lad with a little lunch. He was a first responder. Now, I don't know what I would have done. I mean, you're looking at the guy that kind of looked for the other escalator. I might have seen all them hungry people at the picnic and said, I'm going to stay in my car and eat this real quick before I get out of there. Wipe the mustard off my face. Hey, everybody, let's have a picnic. Oh, there's no food. Oh, wow, let's go get a Frosty from Wendy's. Come on, that little boy had to have the right response so that God could use what he might have thought was not near enough. But when it was put into the hands of God, it was able to do a work that was supernatural. I'm trying to reach for somebody today and say, we honor first responders, but you sitting right where you are, you don't realize how powerful you are, how important you are, that you would take what little you have, what you think is not enough to help anybody, and just say, here I am, Lord, if you anoint me and if you lead me, I will respond. One more time, could you lift a hand and say, Jesus, I'm thankful for everything you've done for me, and I know you've used me in the past, but I'm taking this message as a fresh opportunity to say, Lord, I will be a first responder. I will take what little I have and I will use it for your glory. And so I pray and so I plea as the musicians come, as we confront needs in our own lives, in our own church, and in our own community, let kindness be your first response. Don't try to figure it all out. Don't try to analyze whether or not you think you can make a difference. But let courage be your first response. Let mercy be your first response. Let patience be your first response. Whatever's going on around you, don't think of yourself as just a bystander. Don't think of yourself as ill-equipped to make a difference. But be a first responder. And we honor you. And we need you. If you'll just say, I'll be kind. I'll be helpful. I'll be patient. I'll be available. I'll be a first responder. How about be the first responder just to listen? At the picnic today, why not find somebody, nobody's talking to you, and just sit down with them? Hey, what's your name? I told you last week. Oh, forgive me. Can you tell me again? I'm as old as the pastor. Right? We've all been there. But don't let that stop you from being a first responder. And you know, don't just sit down with that person to talk. Sit down with that person to listen. What's going on with you? What's happening? What? Why are you sitting with me? Didn't you hear the message? Pastor's looking at me. No. Be a first responder. Be the first responder to act. You see somebody sitting over there and they're starving, thirsty. You can tell with that long line, they're kind of older. I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but man, for them to stand in that line. I mean, I'm talking about the oldest person you can think of. Sister Sharon, I'll go get you something to drink. Did you get that one on the video? Hashtag stupid son-in-law. One word. I hope somebody's hearing from God today because I just hurt myself. Come on, be the first responder. This is a big one. The first responder to forgive. It might happen today. You're standing there waiting to get that, I don't know, that salad. Hashtag liar. And here you've been standing in that line for like 25 minutes. And Brother Keith just walks up there, right in front of you. He takes all the tomatoes and the lettuce. You be the first responder to forgive. You know, like Jesus said, he don't even know what he's doing. Come on, folks. We honor our first responders, but we need first responders. Forget about the picnic. You know, sometimes living with your family ain't no picnic. And so, husband, be the first responder. All the husbands say, amen. That's right. That's right. Hashtag, not the couch tonight. Just one word. Come on, how many times have you thought, well, if she'll speak to me, I'll speak to her. Oh, no, first responder. I'm a first responder. Look at that person next to you and say, I'm a first responder. I'm a first responder. I'm not going to take another escalator. I'm not going to look for any. I'm not going to slip out in the background. I'm going to be a first responder. Because the scripture says, he hath showed thee, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. I can do this because God has called me to do this. Besides that, I want to be like Jesus. Acts chapter 10, it says of Jesus how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good. He was anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good. He just tried to do good. And in the process of doing good, look what else happened. And healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Oh, to be like Jesus. I don't know how you could use me to heal the sick. I don't know how you could use me to raise the dead. I'll tell you how. Just be the first responder to do some good. And while you're doing some good, remember you're full of the Holy Ghost. And whatever God gives you to speak or whatever God gives you to pray, speak it with courage. Pray it with courage and kindness and confidence that God is able to work through us. So we're not just going to stay on the lines. We honor our first responders, but we're going to be first responders. Let's stand together. And for everyone that is here today, I say, Jesus Christ is the ultimate first responder. Because Isaiah said, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. His ear is not heavy that it cannot hear. Your iniquities may have separated you between you and your God. Your sins may have hid his face from you that he will not hear. But God is going to respond by robing himself in flesh and going to a cross and dying for the sins of everybody here. That same prophecy, Isaiah 59 down to verse 16, it says, when God saw that there was no man and he wondered that there was no intercessor, therefore his arm brought salvation unto him and his righteousness, it sustained him. That's why Jesus Christ is considered the arm of the Lord revealed, because when the Lord looked for a responder to the sins of people, he looked for a responder to our lost condition. He wondered, is there anybody that can save these people? And therefore, he stepped forward and robed himself in flesh, and he became our Savior. He became our sacrifice. He is the ultimate first responder. And we honor you today. We praise you today. We love you today. We lift you up today. We glorify you today. And he is the kind of first responder that if he has 99 all safe and sound, but there's just one that says, God, you got to forgive me today, he'll leave the 99. He won't just settle for them. He'll go looking for that one. And if you will call out to him today, he will respond. If you will repent today, he will respond. If you choose to be baptized today, he will respond. If you seek him to be filled with his Spirit, he will respond. Or if there's a bunch of junk going on in your life, even though you're a Christian, you're doing your best to serve him, but it seems like all hell is breaking loose on you, remember, the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and destroy. But there is a great first responder, the good shepherd, that's looking right now, and he's saying, I want somebody that's sick, I want to heal them. I want somebody that's lonely, I want to comfort them. I want somebody that's hurting, I want to rescue them. So elders, would you come with that list of prayers, those people that need us to pray for them? And we're going to pray for miracles right now, but not just for the ones represented by these pages. Anybody here, whether you're a part of this church family or a guest, we invite you to come just for a few moments and cry out to Jesus and let him respond to your need. Let him respond to your condition. Come on, everybody come. Everybody, maybe you're coming because you need a miracle, or maybe you're coming because you want to honor the best first responder, the ultimate first responder. Or maybe you're coming because you want to be a first responder. Oh, let's all together reach out to the Lord.